All right, Ms. Ventura?
Yes, thank
you. Go ahead, you've got 11 minutes.
Great. Hello, and thank you for this opportunity to speak. My name is Andrea Ventura, and I'm here on behalf of Clean Water Action. I'm also here on behalf, we are a member of the Environmental Coalition for Environmental Justice Coalition for Water, and I'm joined today by my fellow coalition member, Horacio Arasquita, and I'm actually going to actually cede most of my time to Mr. Arasquita, but I did want to make just a couple of comments really very quickly, and that is that my main reason for being here today is to actually ask this board to strongly urge this board that when you convene in March to, in fact, adopt staff's proposed ag order. Our reasons are very simple. Any further delay in this process, and you've been at this for 3 years. You've had a remarkable process where your staff has put out material. You have received comment from all quarters and stakeholders, whether it's ag or environmental justice or environmental community or impacted communities. You have considered that, and that is the result of multiple edits and multiple opportunities for stakeholders to weigh in on this. We do not think that this order is perfect. There have been things that we have called for that we would like to see, frankly, strengthened in the order that has not happened, and we've received the response from staff. But what we do believe is that it is imperative to move on now. The time for discussion and debate and any further delay tactics is not appropriate at this time. And the reason is that what we did not hear about today, we heard about a lot of information about the need for more time when we've known nitrates are a problem in drinking water for 20 years. We've heard a lot about the economic cost today to our agricultural community. And while we are concerned about that, we are also need to talk about the economic costs to impacted communities who do not have water. That is a fundamental reality. It is a fundamental right. And any further delay puts the board and any of us who participate in that delay, in complicity to a continued threat to public health and safety. All of our communities have the right to safe drinking water and affordable drinking water, and we have thousands of people who can no longer wait. And we believe that we need to set these regulations going. We do believe that as we all learn more over the years ahead as to how to do this better, we can incorporate that into new regulation and a new process, but that we need to get the ball rolling now and that any further delay would be unconscionable. I'm going to shut up because that's my main message, but I think it's what's most important is to hear about the impacts of a community that is living with this. This is not an environmental debate. This is a real world, real people debate. So I am going to cede the rest of my time to my friend
here. Do we have a speaker card for him?
No, because I thought we were just using our 11 minutes for that. Is that something
that's
I should have done?
I just wanted to have a card with his name on it. If you could do that, and he can go ahead and
fill that out. Okay. But let me introduce Mr. Arasquita.
Good evening. my name is Horacio Arasquita, and I'm the general manager for Co-op San Gerardo, which is about 7 miles southeast of Salinas. And I'm just going to share with you what the community experienced, like many other communities in California that don't have drinking water. This cooperative was built in 77, and it started, people came in 79. There's 60 families. There's currently 250 people. And there's another 100 people that come in when the child care center is open. So there's approximately 350 people that live there. And in 1990, the first well was contaminated with nitrates. So 3 years later, the second one, the people started in 79. So by 93, two of the wells were already contaminated. And in 2001, there was only one left. So that was also contaminated. And then later on, 2 years later, they find out there was trichloropropane in it because they did a deeper analysis on the water. So this community, they start having problems, skin rashes, their hair was falling, their eyes were red, they had red spots all over the place. So people start talking about it. And so the board of the cooperative came to the board of supervisors and asked for some help. And that was after 5 years that they were getting bottled water because they could not drink the water. But they say, go ahead, you can shower in the water. Well, it wasn't that. They're still, by showering, they were getting sick. So the board of supervisors sent some nurses, and they said, there's something wrong there, but people are getting sick. And so the board, they put a filtration system. As soon as the filtration system went in, all the sicknesses went away because they took away the trichloropropane, the nitrates that were over 100 parts per million, they lowered it to 20. So now people were better. We don't know what was the deep inside sicknesses, because we don't know. I know there's some people die of cancer, but I cannot tell that they die because of the water. That I cannot say. But the outside sicknesses went away. Anyway, so it took from 2001 to 2010, December, when the county got some grants, and they put a new system. The new system cost about $5 million. Now the new system is running on the community. But the cost of the water is over $100. It's $100, $150 a month. And before it was $20, $35. There's no more water near the San Gerardo that is clean. Everything is contaminated. And that's a reality in the valley. All the area around the San Gerardo is highly contaminated with nitrates and other chemicals that we don't know. In order to get the water to San Gerardo, they have to go 2 miles away from the community and dig a well to bring water into the community. I know that the agriculture industry is very, they have problems with economics, because unfortunately economics is based on money or profits, but it's not that way. Economics is based on natural resources. Water is more valuable than money, because 65% of our bodies contain water, and we need water to survive. We need food, air, a house. So the point that I want to make is that the people that polluted the water, whoever did it, it could be not the farmers that are there, it could be someone else. I don't know that. But the people of San Gerardo are paying for the polluters. Even though they got grants to fix the water, now they're still paying. They face the fact that they put their lives at risk, you know. And now that the water is fixed, they still have to pay for the polluters with high amounts of their water bill. So it looks like kind of complex because of the economy. But if we keep it simple and we put our focus on the water, then there will be solutions. Why? Because if we keep going the way things are going, it's not going to be just San Gerardo. The city of Salinas already closed some wells, and they're going to be spreading all over the place. Why? Water flows. We don't know how easy, it's very easy for contamination to spread to new aquifers. So I think we need to have a good solution where most of, you know, the right amounts of nitrates, the right amount of nitrogens and nutrients to be applied to those, whatever crops are growing, have the best management practices, drip system is the best, you know, have the best pesticide applications when the right is, when the time is right, not any time. Have the nitrogen to be applied at the right time, not any time. When you run in sprinklers, don't be running sprinklers 3-4 hours. You can do it in 2 hours. Just don't be running water all over the place. You know, there's so many things that can be done. Here in Salinas Valley, the best farmers, there is the best farmers in the world. And if they use the best farmer as an example and educate the other ones, they can mitigate this problem, lower it. It's going to take a while, but it's going to get better.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comments.
Thank you.
Any board questions? Okay. And Ms. Ventura, you're going to fill out a speaker card for him? Okay. Mr. Briggs, next group is...
Do we have the combined environmental groups queued up, or is that what we said, I believe? So Nathan Alley, Steve Schimmick.
Sarah Damron.
You guys can have my time if you want. Steve?
What's that?
I don't know if you'll use it, but if you want my time, you can have it.
But she's not part of our combined presentation. She's an independent speaker.
Yep.
Oh. Oh, Sarah is?
Sarah Damron, yeah.
Okay.
It's Dan, Nathan, and myself.
Okay. Did each of you... I have Nathan's card. Did you submit a card?
My card's right here.
Okay. Let's just...
The only one that can follow instructions, sorry.
So it says Steve. It's right at the bottom.
Thanks. Okay. Mr. Schimmick. Okay. 45 minutes for your group.
Oops. That's all right.
You can do it. You can go back. Go back
on the minus.
Also, Steve and
Ben.
Yeah.
And Nathan, we may actually break at some point. Seeing as how I bet it'll go longer than 45 minutes.
No, I don't think it will.
So, so anyway, I want to warn you about that.
Yeah. So my name is Steve Schimmick. I'm with Monterey Coast Keeper, and I will be the first of three speakers, and about 10, 15 minutes apiece. All right. So first of all, you know, here's the group that's been talking to you a lot. Originally, when we submitted the environmental proposal, there was also Surfrider Santa Barbara, which Sarah is actually not a part of, and then there was also the Ocean Conservancy. You've seen these slides before, just kind of trying to remind you that we have this old topography. And the old topography had water, had drainages, has all the things that we have now. It's just been highly modified. And everything, including the Blanco, is on there. The reclamation ditch, in some ways, the drainage is on there. We've just highly modified this. And the water is really different now. This actually shows a group of seven lakes that were in the Salinas Valley. Seven lakes were in the valley. Not only were those lakes there, but there was also a wetland that stretched from the city of Salinas all the way to the sea. It was a wetland. And that's led actually to some of the problems that we have today, not the wetland itself, but the fact that we've highly modified this landscape and in fact sometimes drained all these wetlands, and we've removed a lot of the natural functions that would occur if those wetlands had been in place. This is a 1910 photograph, and the writing on the lower right is actually was part of the photograph. It says, "Glimpse of the Salinas River." It's interesting because I don't want to portray this as that there's water always in the river. Even the old river had times when it went dry. But it supported the series of uses. This guy's holding, it sure looks to me like this guy's holding fish, holding a fishing rod and fishing. And those are beneficial uses that we have lost today. And I'm not suggesting that we go back in the Wayback Machine and bring back, you know, grizzly bears walking around in the Salinas Valley. I'm not suggesting that, although that would be cool. What I am suggesting, though, is that we need to bring back these beneficial uses, the fishable, swimmable, drinkable water uses that we once had. We need to bring those back. This is what we have today. This is a slide. Again, I was told to, I can't be criticized for we've seen that slide before, because that was one of the kind of rules of slides that we've used before. But here we've got, this is Tembladero Slough, just before it goes into Elkhorn Slough. And you can see that this has serious problems, really serious problems. We also have problems of runoff in winter. Hopefully we'll get some rain yet this winter. I really hope that we do get that rain. But in these fallow fields, they run off and they clog city systems. They clog our rivers. They basically they reduce some of the other beneficial uses, including fish spawning habitat. It's the intensity of agriculture in this area on the Central Coast that's actually part of the problem. This is the average diazinon agricultural use. This is DPR. And if you actually look at the numbers, that's what's important in comparison to all the other numbers. This is use is in pounds of active ingredient. Salinas Valley, 64,257 pounds, as compared to probably the entire Central Valley, which is right around 27,000 pounds. 62,000 in that little sliver compared to 27,000 pounds in the entire Central Valley. That reflects the crop and the intensity of agriculture and just the scale of the problem that we are dealing with. It is important that you deal with this problem, because this is a region that has some of the most serious issues confronting it. You don't just need to confront the problem, you need to lead. You need to lead because of the extent of the problem in this region. We also have removal of riparian and wetland vegetation. This is within the Salinas River channel. I'm not suggesting that this is illegal. I'm simply suggesting that this is a practice. They don't have a permit for this right now, but this is bulldozing the Salinas River channel. That's what this is. Here's a slide, and again, we've got this unique problem of a lot of tile drains. This is actually from a little bit further south, but here's an area where you've got a ditch. Again, the ditch is showing a lot of contamination. The intensity of the problem in this area must drive you to act, and must drive you to act, not punt this until September. It's been years already. Act in March. Looking at the data, this is from the regional board's own site. Here's looking at toxicity, invertebrate survival in water. Now, some people are saying that oh, these are fleas. These don't matter. These don't even live here. This is the standardized test used for toxicity. Okay, it's a standardized test animal, and they die. Area, all that red is above the water quality standard. Arrow pointing upward is getting worse. That's invertebrate survival in the lower Salinas. Here's the lower Santa Maria. You have a serious problem. These are your tier three people. These are who you need to regulate. If you look at statewide toxicity, now there's some region, I mean, I can't believe that LA, which is down in that all green, has all good water. You look at the sample size, and it's a sample size of 2. But look at the Central Coast. The Central Coast had a decent sample size. 22% of our water is highly toxic. Is that what we should live with? I think not. Nitrate in the lower Salinas.
Excuse me, what are these samples of, that slide you were just showing?
This is surface water. And this is, so this is taking a surface water sample, doing a standardized toxicity test on it. Did I answer that?
But who took the samples?
This is a combination of your CCAMP and the cooperative monitoring program data, which is what's displayed on your website. So the sample size on the Central Coast is actually quite large.
Well, state, if I can get stopped. Statewide, it would be the state's surface water ambient monitoring program.
Okay.
And not CCAMP.
Yeah, because CCAMP is just our region.
Right.
And the cooperative monitoring program is just our region.
But
this is from a statewide, I believe this slide is from our State Water Resources Control Board's
yes.
toxicity report.
Yes, but I think this is from your data, though, isn't it? Yeah, so it is from your samples. That's my belief. It includes your data, yes.
My chart for our region includes CCAMP.
Right. Okay. All right. So then when we look at nitrates, so that was toxicity. Now we're looking at nitrates. This is nitrates. Again, red is above water quality standards. Arrow is getting worse. So up arrow is getting worse. And what you see is, again, we have a problem in the lower Salinas, and we have a problem in the lower Santa Maria. If you look at the region as a whole, the Central Coast region, it's red in the lower Salinas and the lower Santa Maria. That's where your problem is. Then you look at groundwater. So here's the groundwater overlay, again, on the Regional Water Quality Control Board website. And this is looking at groundwater monitoring data, and red is above water quality standards. Again, Lower Salinas, and I think this, yeah, that was Lower Santa Maria. So sorry, I have the two in wrong order. You've got problems. In the Central Valley, they actually commissioned a report with Pacific Institute where they looked at nitrate-contaminated drinking water and the human cost. That report is great reading, and it applies just as much to the Central Coast. We've talked about the human impacts, but there's also environmental impacts. This is ocean discharge of freshwater microcystins was confirmed for 3 nutrient-impaired rivers flowing into the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, and then deaths of sea otters. So in other words, you've got a freshwater toxic algae that is then flowing into the ocean, being eaten or filtered by mussels, being eaten by the sea otters, and the sea otters dying.
Which 3 rivers?
That would be the San Lorenzo, the Pajaro, and the Salinas. San Lorenzo, Pajaro, and Salinas. Thank you. Here are the goals that we were asked to. And these are the goals. Again, you know, there's been all this stuff about we must meet this tomorrow. These are the goals that Roger Briggs, when he sent us a letter in 2008, said that we must achieve. This is verbatim from that letter. And it's about reductions, it's about moving towards a goal. The only place where it's about eliminate is toxic discharges. Everything else is move towards the goal. Make improvements. Go from 100, go down to 90. You don't have to go to 0 next week. This is the comparison chart on the Central Board website from the September 1 staff report. And what you see is that the only thing that works is the environmental proposal and the ag order. If you are trying to achieve those previous 5 goals, the only thing that legally meets the requirements are the environmental proposal and the 2011 ag order, or staff. Proposal. I'm sorry. And so there's been all this stuff. Mark's presentation, Los Huertos' presentation was great, but it's how to do it on the ground. And then the veil came off when Ms. Taylor Silva talked, and she basically said, and what we want is anybody that comes into the program, they don't have to meet all the requirements, and they don't have to report anything. There was also the comment from Mr. Merkley that was about, you know, we don't have enough cops out there. Guess what? That's why we have monitoring. And that's why we have monitoring that's reported, is so that there's accountability. That's the point. Our organizations continue to support the February 2010 version of the order because it was the most strict. And we conditionally support the staff proposal. One of our suggestions would be that after 2 years from the implementation, any operation that discharges to a water body impaired for toxicity, in other words, by the CMP data, anything upstream, if that site continues to be toxic, will they have to come into Tier 3? In other words, our concern is that the two pesticides that are named, chlorpyrifos, and now I'm blanking, diazinon, thank you, that will be too narrow and people will just switch. So if you continue to have a toxicity problem, they should be brought into Tier 3. And our second suggestion is that we maintain that there needs to be a buffer strip.
But before you get to this thought, which you just completed, what if a farm shows an improvement?
If a farm
in their level of toxicity being discharged,
right,
within the 2 years,
we've come up with several proposals of people being able to show. If you recall, people being able to hold their data for 2 years and not show it. We offered that up. We've offered up every single proposal that we could to try and get where people felt safe about trying to make improvements. The toxicity is the one place where we're saying that they need to eliminate it within 5 years. And so this is the toxicity, not the nitrates, but right. The toxicity is the one place where we get fairly hardcore. And basically, the current, as we understand it, from the scientists and the people at UC Davis, as we understand it, the current group of pesticides basically degrades in a matter of weeks to months. So if you make those improvements and you don't have that toxic discharge, you know, you should be able to improve this in a matter of weeks to months, not years. And so we're basically, I would again say to you that we're willing to offer up, and maybe my guys now will kick me, but we're willing to, we have made the proposal in the past that you know, they get 2 years before they show their data on the toxicity side.